Are you ready for homeschooling to feel joyful again? Do you long for support as you learn alongside your kids? Welcome to Homeschool Better Together, a podcast about building a homeschool experience that works for your family. I'm Pam Barnhill, and it's time to step out of the overwhelm and into the wonder. Let's do this. Today, I am joined by Miss Amy Needham on the podcast, and we are going to be chatting all about kind of an interesting situation. Amy, you have a neurodivergent child that you homeschool. So tell us a little bit about your homeschool.
All right. Well, we've been homeschooling since the very beginning. There was like a little blurb where Miles went to kindergarten for like 6 weeks, and we were like, yeah, we're definitely not doing this. So we have Miles. He is going to be 15 on Saturday, and he's our only child. So we only homeschool one child, but he is neurodivergent. He doesn't have any like official diagnosis or anything, but we definitely know what's going on. And homeschooling was really our only option. You know, for his preschool, we did a lot of Montessori stuff and a lot of Charlotte Mason stuff before he went to school. But the school really, they just couldn't accommodate what was going on. So we just went like full-blown homeschool, and we've been doing it ever since.
And loving it ever since.
Yes. Yes, loving it.
That is awesome. So you did preschool him at home, or did he go to preschool?
No, we preschooled him at home. He only went to like a mommy's day out kind of thing for a few hours, twice a week, just so I could go to the store.
Right.
But you know, they were doing circle time and stuff like that, but he mostly brought a stack of books and just sat in the corner and read his books. But I was like, I just need to go to the store by myself for like an hour. So we did that for 2 years, and then we stopped when he was about like 4 and a half, because he aged out of the program, and we just started doing really like pre-kindergarten, pre-first grade stuff at home, because we were big into Montessori. So we had all the stations and all the stuff up, and he was doing a lot of that.
And then you were totally willing to give school a try, but it just very quickly became apparent that that was not the place where he was going to be able to thrive.
Right. My husband wanted to give school a try. And we went to the school, we talked to counselors, we explained what was going on. He was very highly accelerated. We didn't want him to skip kindergarten because socially and emotionally, he's not ready. Right. So we're like, can he just do kindergarten? And if he's done, let's maybe give him a book to read, or, you know, it just really didn't work. Even though it was supposed to be like the best school in the system, and we had the teacher of the year as his teacher, just within like 4 weeks, we could already tell it was not going well. And then at 6 weeks, we had a parent-teacher conference, and she was like, I don't know what to do with him. You know, he needs medication. He needs to be in special ed. And we're like, he doesn't. He just needs to be challenged. And I get it. You're one teacher with 32 kids. I mean, what can you really do? So my husband went from, I'm not sure about homeschooling, to I'm going to write a book about homeschooling. Which he hasn't done yet, but he's gotten notes, and he's like, he's the biggest homeschool advocate now. Like, he meets kids, you know, oh, you're having a baby, you should homeschool. Like, the baby's not born yet. It's like, but you should homeschool.
I love it. I love it so much. Oh, that's awesome. Well, you did Montessori kinds of things at home when he was little. So then when you started, quote unquote, officially homeschooling, what did your homeschool look like? What different things have you done and tried through the years?
Well, we switched from Montessori to like really hardcore Charlotte Mason. Everything was living books. And then we did more like unit study style to go along with the book. So if the book was about sailing, we did puzzles about sails. And I had a closet just full of all kinds of stuff so we could do these little unit studies, because if it was a workbook or if it was a video he had to watch or something where he had to be still, it just wasn't working. So as we went through elementary, that kept us going until we hit about the middle school years. And now we've transitioned into sort of a classical Charlotte Mason mix. So that way I feel like I'm checking my boxes Mm-hmm. And he's getting his living book rabbit holes, deep dives that he needs.
Yeah. You mentioned it was so funny in the little blurb you sent me when you agreed to be on the podcast. You said mm-hmm. it's like keeping up with a steam train.
It really is. I tell people that all the time because they're like, oh, it's so easy. You have one child and he's 15. He should be independent. He's doing his high school work. No big deal. It's not like that. I mean, I don't envy someone who's homeschooling 6 or 7 kids like my mom did. But it having one still has its own challenges on the other side. And when he gets interested in a topic, you should just hold on. Because if you can't throw information in the front, puzzles or Lego sets or something to kind of, he will just deep dive and deep dive and deep dive to where you just feel like you're holding on. And he's telling you all this new information about stuff. And you're like, wow, that's so interesting. But I don't know how to keep up with this information. It's like a Wikipedia page. And you're just reading and reading and reading. And reading.
So how do you decide, you know, you mentioned rabbit trails. How do you decide to when you're going to follow a rabbit trail and really follow those interests that he is grabbing onto? And when do you decide, like, no, we have to let that go? Or do you get to decide at all?
So I'd say it's like a 60-40 mix. I get to decide. If he's really very, very passionate into something, you're not going to get him to move his focus onto algebra. It's just not going to happen. So you kind of have to pick your days and go, okay, are we at a place where we could get our main subjects done? So that way I feel like we had a homeschool day and then he can rabbit hole and deep dive. Or is he waking up and he's already telling me about this information? He's already really excited. It's probably just going to be a YouTube day or some documentaries, or we can go to the library and check out books, something like that. It really just depends on him and when he wakes up. Now, if we get to the end of the week and we really haven't done any core subjects and I feel like we need to do some makeup, I will tell him like, hey, buddy, we've got to do this, this, and this. And we can focus and then we'll move on to what you're really interested in, especially on a Friday. You know, you're done for the week. And then like the weekend, we can just deep dive like crazy. So it just depends on how he wakes up.
You never know what you're going to
get. No, I don't. I write a schedule every day. And there's some days where I check off every box and I'm like, yes. And then there's some days where I'm just crossing out. Where I move to Monday, you know, we by the end of the year, we get everything done. It just doesn't look like a day-to-day set schedule.
Right, right. It's kind of like sometimes it's all over the place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what first drew you to doing wonder studies? And how old was he when you started?
Oh, goodness. We started doing morning time way back when he was in like upper elementary. Because I really needed a way to bring all these little pieces together into one time instead of trying to spread them out. Because when you change focus onto something else, if you're not doing it right, he's distracted immediately. And then you have to bring him back. But if all this stuff was in one basket, it was like, this is the time for the basket. And so I could put puzzles, I could put our reading, I could put poetry, I could put books. And it was kind of our circle time. That lasted about an hour, you know, and he could play and he would play with Play-Doh and stuff. So that was when he was in like 3rd, 4th, 5th grade. And then we've been through it all the way now that it's wonder studies, mm-hmm. which he absolutely loves because I just print off the thing every month. You know, we normally go with whichever the new one is, unless it's something he's really not interested in. I'll go into the library and pick an old one that we haven't done yet. But he's got the list. He's got the folder. I print in a folder. And then he has on the iPad the activities link list where mm-hmm. it's got all the videos and all the hyperlinks. So he can click on those. And he loves it because like last month was sailing. I wouldn't have thought that he would be interested in sailing. He's never mentioned it. But he loved it. Like he watched extra videos about sailing and people sailing around the world. And we did different knots. So it just brings in activities and a subject that I maybe didn't think he would like. And it's easy because I just print it off and the links are already there. So it's like a no-brainer. It's like, this is the easiest thing.
You didn't have to go find all the information. I didn't have to
find it, yes.
That really does make all the difference in the world.
It does. Yes.
Yeah. So it gives you a place to jump off. It gives him a place to jump off and dig deeper, you know, as an older student, if he wants to, and really go deeper into some of these things, some of these topics that come up, right?
It does. It gives him an independence about it. Whereas maybe with some of the other subjects, I do still have to be at table and I still have to make sure that we're going forward. With the Wonder Studies, I can just give him the basket, essentially. I've already checked out the library books, or I've already ordered a puzzle, or he can just pick the next thing out and discover more about it, cross it off his list, and he did it independently. I wasn't necessarily saying, hey, we need to watch this next video. He'll say, oh, I want to watch this next video.
Right.
I'm like, okay. And then he's like, well, can I watch another one? I'm like, yeah, we still have some time in this, you know, schedule part for you to deep dive a little bit. If not, you know, we'll circle back around at the end of the day. And he's watched more videos just because he was very interested in the topic. Like the month where it was trains, I might as well have not done any other school. he was 100% trains. I mean, he's loved them since he was little. So he even got out his old model trains and did some more stuff. So he really loves them.
Fun. So how does he feel about things like the songs and the memory work and stuff like that? Does he get into any of that stuff? Or,
well, he has been playing the piano since he was 3. So he loves the music part. Any part that's music. He does like the poetry, but the memorization work is not his favorite. But it's something that we are definitely going to work on a lot this year, because I want to do Shakespeare and I want to do more memorization work for him. And we're also going to work on reading aloud, because it's something that he definitely struggles in. But that way in the Wonder Studies, it could be the smaller poem. And he doesn't feel so intimidated as a piece of Shakespeare, you know, right, or like Julius Caesar. He can be like, oh, it's just about a boat. And then he'll read it out loud. So I think it's going to build that confidence that he needs to work on his memorization.
And we really do choose, like when we choose the poems for the memory work, you know, there is kind of a criteria that they stay within a certain amount, or we do an excerpt or something like that, because we know, you know, a lot of families use these for a month and then move on after the end of the month. And so we want to give them something that's doable within that month's period of time, you know. So as he's moving into high school, what are your thoughts and feelings with continuing to use the Wonder Studies, and where might that fit into your homeschool?
Well, we are definitely continuing the Wonder Studies all the way through high school. I know a lot of families might feel that they're for just younger kids, but really the teens benefit. Even if it's still a picture book, you know, we still check those out from the library, because it might be a simple story, but he still misses getting to see pictures. You know, it's hard when they've got this massive stack of books that they've got to get through their other subjects. The Wonder Studies allows him to, I don't want to say be a kid again, but they're fun, they're simple, they're very easy to use, and he loves the topics. So as long as he's giving me even just half of his attention for it, we will continue to use them. And like, we're also incorporating the Teens on Track into his homeschool this year. So he's going to kind of get a wide range. And even some of the older Morning Time plans that were literary books, like Anne of Green Gables, and we did The Hobbit, we pulled those Morning Time plans to use as like the unit study with the book. So that way he had like, oh, well, I'm reading this book, well, I could read this poem, or I could look at this link. And it really helps him to not feel like, oh, I'm just reading a stack of books. It gives him something special to do.
Something to jump off of. And so many of those picture books in the Wonder Studies are just beautiful books.
They are. Yes. The one for Japan, Some of those books were absolutely gorgeous. We checked out some extra books from the same author, so it was the same illustrator, and he loved them. He read them over and over, and we ended up continuing the Japan study into sailing. So we were kind of doing like Japan and sailing at the same time because he loved the Japan study so much.
Oh, that's awesome. So do you ever take more than a month to do a set of plans?
So if his interest is really piqued, like it was with Japan, we'll just continue studying it until he burns out, essentially. So for most of them, it is like the 4 weeks or, you know, 3 weeks or however long it takes to get through most of the activity list. But there are some where we have gone for 2 months and I've just not done a second wonder study because we were continuing, or like with the Japan and the sailing, I just overlapped them and we just had a little bit longer morning time so he could accommodate both of those, which he liked. He kind of interwove the Japan and the sailing by looking at Japanese sailing, you know? And so I would have never thought he would want to look at that or be interested in it. So it definitely gives us that jumping off point for stuff I wouldn't even think of.
I love it. So it sounds to me, hearing you talk, like you mostly use the morning time portion of the Wonder Studies. Have you dabbled in the content subjects portion with the history and the science and the language arts at all?
We used to when we used the morning time plans and like elementary and early middle school, we did a lot of the history stuff. But this year, actually the last 2 years, we've been working on the Whirlwind history curriculum. Mm-hmm. And it was like 2 years of just like history, history, history. And he was a little burnt out. So right. We have skipped the language arts and the history part this year and last year. But prior to that, that was my main history focus. That was where we got all of our history content because I wasn't using any history curriculum.
Right.
We could just go wonder study by wonder study and learn that part. And especially if there was map work or stuff like that, we would just do the, I forgot what the name of the little program you had where it's like you label the map mm-hmm. and then you do it again until you can label it all from memory.
It's labeling
the map.
Map work. Yeah. I think we just call it map work. Yeah.
Yeah. We did that for a really long time and he's actually quite good at geography now. I mean, he remembers countries and stuff. I'm like, where is that? He's like, Mom, it's right there. Like, well, you're right again.
So what did you have to learn to let go of to make a homeschool that worked for Miles and your family?
I had to let go of a lot of stuff because I went through public school all the way, graduated. My sisters, which there's a big age gap between me and them. There is 6 of them and they were all homeschooled. And so I assumed homeschool was the way my mom did it, which I didn't know very much because I was at school all day. And then, so when we had Miles and he starts basically like into the 3rd, 4th grade, you know, was where we started getting like really serious about maybe we need to check boxes. You know, I was like, well, this is how I went to school. This is how school should be. I'm going to make a classroom. We got like the board on the wall. We got posters. We've got, you know, and quickly that was not how this was going to work. It did take me a few years to kind of slowly let go of expectations of things that maybe I thought homeschool was supposed to be. And where we are now is a very long journey to get where we are now. But now I embrace it. You know, now if I could go back and tell me from before, like, hey, you know, don't be so stressed out about not checking all these boxes off. I think I would have enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
The way I enjoy it now. It was very different.
What encouragement would you give a mom out there who has one or more, you know, learners who don't learn like other kids? They're kind of all over the place and they get really intense and learning mm-hmm. about specific topics. And maybe, you know, because she's not as easily able to check the boxes, maybe she's feeling a little bit discouraged. How would you encourage her?
Well, really, it's it's hard when you're a box checker and you don't have a box checker child.
Yeah.
So I would say you definitely have to find a middle ground between where you feel like you've done what you needed to do for the day. Maybe you checked some of your boxes, but you also have the patience and I guess the faith that your child will eventually learn everything that they need to learn. It's just not going to look like neurotypical child who checks all the boxes and they're done for the day. It's going to be a lot of adventures. It's going to be a lot of rabbit holes. And if you let go of the expectations that you have to do so-and-so at this age and so-and-so this amount of time, you might actually have a wonderful time with your child because there might be things that you learn that you never thought that you would learn just because your child is interested in it. And so for me, I definitely have found the balance between, okay, I've checked some boxes. I feel good about today. You know, today was a good day. And he also got to explore everything it is he needed to explore. Because when you have a child like this, if you don't let them explore, it actually has the reverse effect. They're not going to do well in their other subjects. They're going to get wound up. They're going to have so much energy. It's just like it's fizzing underneath and they're not really going to pay attention. So that balance is key, but it's just really letting go of those expectations.
Yeah, that was something that I definitely found that I needed to do as I worked with my kids. They learned differently than my expectation of learning. And in a lot of mm-hmm. ways, they learned in the ways that I wish I had been able to learn.
Yes.
But as much as you want that, there's still like this whole weight of all the years of
it is
your programming that you mm-hmm. kind of have to let go of, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree.
I love it. I love it so much. So if there's a mom out there who's thinking maybe this wonder study stuff would work for us, what would you say to her?
I would say if you have even like the smallest amount of interest, give it a try. Because what can you lose? You try it. Okay, maybe it wasn't what you expected, but it could be something that you needed.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a child who's constantly wanting to learn this and learn that, and mom, can we check this out? And, you know, I don't want to do math. Let's talk about bears. I want to talk about bears forever. Well, you know what? There might be a wonder study that can help you keep yourself organized in a way, but let your child dig deep into those interests and spark interests that maybe you didn't know they had. And it's so simple. You just download it, you print it out, you can use it on the computer, on the iPad. It's got hyperlinks. The videos have been looked at. The songs have been checked out. I don't have to do anything. It's the best thing ever.
Oh,
it's so easy.
I love it. I love it so much. I mean, that is the thing. I've done so many times myself where I'm like, let's sit down and make a unit about something. And then it just takes so much work.
It takes a lot of time and you spiral off and you forget this and you're like, oh, I didn't incorporate any history. The wonder studies are already done.
Yes.
They're done. And all you have to do is buy them.
That's all you have to do. The ladies have thought about all of it. So
yes.
We love them. Oh, well, Amy, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you and Miles just enjoy these and have fun with them, and it just brings a little bit of joy and delight to your day. And thank you so much for coming on and encouraging moms who, you know, I mean, you really are not the typical customer we think about when we think about wonder studies. You don't have the whole family full of kids. You don't have the wide age ranges. You don't have the kids in elementary school who are looking for a unit study for everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a little non-traditional for us. And we think it's awesome that you guys find great joy in what we're doing. And I think other families, you know, yeah, they could find great joy in it too. So thank you so much for encouraging everyone. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
That's our show for today.
Be sure to follow, subscribe, and leave a review so you never miss out on the wonder of homeschooling better together. To stay connected and learn even more about the Homeschooling Better Together resources and to join our free community, visit hsbtpodcast.com. Until next week, keep stepping out of the overwhelm and into the wonder.